Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today is, of course, going to share her Lyme journey. And, you know, I talk to so many people in the Lyme community every day, and I hear stories of some of them that are bedridden. I hear stories of just, you know, they have neurological issues. All of our journeys are so different. And what I always like to really point out to people is that your journey is your journey. It's a personal journey. It's a tough battle that you're going through. So whether you feel like other people are worse off than you are, do not diminish yourself in what you're going through, because it is tough. And I know my guest today, she literally spent 5 years in a wheelchair during her Lyme journey. And it's just hard. It is such a tough battle. And that is why I do this podcast. I want to be able to offer you guys hope and inspiration. If she can get well, if I can get well, we all can truly get well. And so we are going to dive into her personal journey. And then also, because of her journey, she has kind of shifted her whole life. She is a naturopathic doctor. She is the founder of Restorative Health Clinic in Portland, Oregon. She's also the author of Breaking Through Chronic Illness. So we are going to talk about her personal journey and then what she feels is the true solution to conquering and beating Lyme disease. What level do we need to go to in our body? So I'm super excited to hear all of this new technology that I don't think gets talked about a lot. And so I'm anxious to be able to dive into that. But first, let's go ahead and get started with her journey. Dr. Melanie Stein, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me today, Tanya.
I'm really excited. I know we had a few minutes to talk prior to the show, and I'm just anxious to kind of dive into what you do at your clinic. But of course, I want to hear your personal journey because I don't know it. And so the listeners can join in with me by hearing it for the first time. So where do we want to start? Did you know anything about Lyme disease? Do you recall getting bitten? You know, oftentimes we just don't know what we don't know.
Right. And so my story is a little bit unique, right? Because I was in medical school. So I knew about Lyme disease. I knew what a bullseye rash was, and I knew that it meant Lyme. But I lived in the Pacific Northwest, and I was studying in the Pacific Northwest where, quote unquote, we don't have Lyme here. So I did have acute Lyme, though, where I was actually at a Qigong retreat as a part of my medical school program. And I woke up one morning just completely paralyzed. I was laying in bed in my yurt and I couldn't move my legs. My arms were tremoring and I basically just had to lay there until someone came and helped me.
Wow. Wow. And so did this just kind of come out of the blue?
Yeah.
Like no symptoms leading up to it. You just wake up and here you are.
Yep. No symptoms leading up to it. I just woke up and here I was. You know, a couple hours later, one of my dear friends came and found me and took me to the hospital. And, you know, that's kind of where my medical trauma really started with in the hospital. They ran every test under the sun trying to figure out what was going on with me. And every test, you know, the MRIs, the CT scans, the nerve conduction studies, everything was normal. Yet I couldn't stand. I had full body tremors. And I was in just some of the worst pain of my life. And it was actually 3 days into my hospital stay that I developed a bullseye rash.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so was that a newsflash for the team of doctors or?
You would certainly think so, right?
Right.
No, you know, I remember like immediately, you know, calling my mom and saying, I have a bullseye rash. Get the doctor in here. I need IV antibiotics right now. And, you know, the doctor came and looked at it and goes, nah, that's not what that is. And I just was beside myself. You know, I thought, you know, oh my gosh, I'm in medical school. I have this incredible life. I just want to get back to my life and what's happening to me. And I finally found an answer. And, you know, they told me, no, that wasn't the answer. And they didn't know what was wrong with me. And I remember this moment where, they took my mom and my ex-wife out of the room and, you know, kind of had this conversation with them. And I remember hearing my ex-wife yelling in the hall, you know, and I remember hearing, what do you mean you're not going to do anything for her? She's in a wheelchair now. You need to figure this out. She has Lyme disease, you know, and they basically told me it was all in my head. They told me I had convergent disorder. And then unless I figured out why I was choosing to act like this, you know, I was going to be like this. This was just me now. It was horrible. You know,
and it's no wonder. I believe that part of this journey that we go through in order to fully get well or to stay well, right, and not relapse, part of that journey is working through the emotional trauma that we go through with this disease. Because exactly like what you're saying right here is that we get dismissed, right? It's all in your head. It's, you know, you could really walk if you wanted to. Like, what is it that you're trying to get? What do you want? And how can we get well if nothing's wrong with us, right? So all these tests they did, everything shows fine. And for me, that was the same thing. For 7 years, my things looked like I was a very healthy person. But a healthy person does not know their name. Can't walk, right? Need somebody to take care of them. And so you lose hope if nothing's wrong with you, because then there's nothing to get well from. And if you can't get well from anything, then your life is, this is what it is. And that is why I became suicidal. And I know that we lose a lot in this community because of that. So if you are listening, please just know we are validating whatever it is that you're going through, right? Wherever you are in your journey, however you've been treated or gaslit by the medical community, it is not you. It is on them. Chronic Lyme disease is a real thing, and people need to understand that. So, and until they do, right, and until we are accepted widely by everybody, just know that there are so many millions of people out there just like you going through this battle, and it is real. And so I'm sure that just that alone, right, like how much lack of confidence were you feeling it with yourself, right? Here you're going to medical school, you think you have Lyme disease, these doctors are dismissing you, you're not technically a doctor yet, right? But I should know some stuff and they're just blowing me off.
It was probably one of the hardest things I've ever been through. You know, they sent me to a rehab afterwards to learn how to live my life in a wheelchair. And I remember sitting there in the wheelchair and like going to my legs and saying, okay, you know, this is all in your head. Lift your leg and get up and go onto the toilet, you know? And it was completely mortifying. I mean, I fell down, right? And I was laying there for 30 minutes before someone came and got me. And, you know, I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is not in my head. Why is this happening to me? Why can't they figure out what's wrong with me? There was a very specific neuropsychologist who would come in time after time and try to talk to me about why this was happening and what was going on in my life. And, you know, I actually, once I got better, I ended up sending her almost every book I could find on Lyme disease and pictures of myself healed. And, you know, my story saying, I hope you never do this to someone else again, because it's horrible what happens to the Lyme community. And I think that your message is one that is really powerful and one that I hope everyone kind of circles back and listens to that a couple of times before they move on in the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it takes such a toll on us. And, you know, not only are we already just battling to not be in pain or to walk or to feed ourselves or to know our own name, you know, and then we're just battling against it. It just really is, I think it's kind of part of like going through a grieving process, the stages of grieving, right? Like who we once were, what we've lost, the finances we've lost, the relationships we've lost. Who am I going to be now? What good am I to society? What, you know, there's just so many layers to this, and it is all truly just one of the pieces to the puzzle. And so I always encourage people to get that emotional help that they need to really kind of put the nail in the coffin, right? To just put it at rest forever. So, all right. Well, so then where do we go from here? So you're in this rehab center, and how do you eventually get somebody to take you serious or get a diagnosis?
Yeah. So, you know, I ended up having a Lyme disease test. I convinced them to at least run a Lyme disease test and test my cerebral spinal fluid. And it came back positive for elevated white blood cell counts and Lyme disease. And I thought for sure that meant someone was going to listen to me now. You know, and an infectious disease doctor comes in and he sits down and he looks at me and he goes, you know, Melanie, there's two sides of Lyme. There's people who think it's out here and there's people who aren't, or people who don't. And I had some choice words at that point. And, I just said, you know what? This is ridiculous. Get me out of here. I don't want to be in this rehab anymore. I have Lyme disease. This is confirmation. Like, you know, it was like, hallelujah, I'm not crazy, right? This is not all in my head. Because at this point I was starting to believe that it was, like you were saying, I was mourning my life ahead of me because I didn't understand what was wrong. And when I got that test, I saw hope. And thankfully I did have a naturopath at the time, and little did I know she was a Lyme specialist also.
Oh, what are the odds, right?
You know, and so I just left. You know, they told me I wasn't ready to be discharged, and I said, absolutely not, I'm leaving. And my doctor said, drive right to my clinic. And you know, she was just an absolute godsend, because she was able to fight my insurance, get a PICC line in me, and get me on IV antibiotics right away. And she just went above and beyond to try to get me the care that I needed.
Bless her. And there are so many practitioners like that. I know you listeners are probably thinking, no, there's not. There really are. There's so many more out there now than they were, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I was dealing with this. And so don't think that there aren't. There are. And so I love that you already had one in place, and hallelujah, they happen to treat Lyme.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I was a good herxer. And I think that's something at some point I do want to talk about, is how we can help manage those reactions, because you name it, I experienced it. And it was almost worse than the disease process. You know, where I started stuttering, I would have seizures. You know, I just tremors. I think tremors were the worst part, right? The pain, dizziness, I would faint. It was absolutely horrible, the treatment. And I couldn't move through protocols because I would get so sick. And that's
when this time, were you just doing the IV antibiotics?
At this time I was doing different IV antibiotics, some oral antibiotics, but mostly IV at this point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and again, you know, if you followed me for any amount of time, I'm not a huge fan of antibiotics. However, when we're first infected, that is the go-to, right? That can prevent us from going down years of this torture that we do. And so I'm all on board with antibiotics, and I am not saying at all that antibiotics do not work for chronic Lyme disease, in my opinion, but in my opinion, I believe that should be your last option, your last choice. You should seek out other resources if you've been sick for a while. And there's many reasons to that, which I won't go into now, but just an FYI for any of those listeners that are kind of new to this journey, right? Like right. If you've been sick for a while, whether you just got your diagnosis or not, please, please, please don't rush into antibiotics. It's not the best first choice. Again, my opinion.
I completely agree with you, and I'll explain why here in a little bit. But like you said, in the case of acute Lyme, I absolutely believe in antibiotics, because if we can attack it quick and head on at first, we can save years of illness. And so that's the one time with for me in my practice now, non-negotiable. Let's just go ahead and offer it.
Yeah. You only get one shot, right?
Yep.
One shot right from the beginning.
Yep. And, you know, so part of my journey was a little bit of a blur, right? I was so sick, and believe it or not, I did not drop out of medical school. My whole purpose in life was to become a doctor. And so throughout this whole process, I was still in medical school, you know, still thriving in that way and the best I could, you know, however, I went to ILADS for the first time. And that's when I met another physician who I ended up transferring my care to. And through that process, you know, he discovered mold. So the apartment I was living in had mold in it. And he really taught me that the reason I was getting so sick with all of my treatments, the reason I couldn't break through, was because mold was holding me back. And when mold was disrupting my immune system to the complexity that it was, nothing was going to get better.
Yes. And that, I think so many times that could be somebody's missing piece, right? And because you're living in mold doesn't mean you're a dirty person or a horrible housekeeper, right? I don't know a lot about mold because thank goodness I never dealt with it, but it can be very, very scary. And so that is always something that you want to get tested for, especially if you're not getting well, or from the sounds of it, like you, Melanie, that you were struggling extra hard. The die-off was harder for you because you had mold and didn't know it.
Yep. Yeah. And it was once I moved and got out of mold and detoxified my body from mold that the treatment started to work.
Oh, perfect. So can you just stop there for a second and mm-hmm. talk about how you did the detox for the mold? Because I know you were doing the antibiotics now, but now we got to throw in something for the mold. So what did that part of your protocol look like?
Yeah. So at that time, it just looked like a lot of binders and glutathione. And so I would do different binders, you know, charcoal, zeobind, chlorella. I did some cholestyramine to try to bind all the different mycotoxins, and then glutathione to help support liver detoxification. And I did a lot of IV ozone as well, which is
one of my favorite things. Yeah.
Yep. I love IV ozone. And so I did a fair amount of IV ozone. And all of this I did in conjunction with the IV antibiotics, with the oral antibiotics. And now I use these same protocols to help mitigate die-off, because if we can, you know, bind toxins that are being released as well while we're killing, you know, so you can do it congruently, really.
Yeah. Okay. So how long was kind of like your journey, right? So, I mean, it started pretty much when your friends picked you up, they found you, right? Out there, took you to the hospital, you did the rehab. You're like, no, this isn't working. So you find your naturopath, and then you go to ILADS, which is fabulous, right? And switch doctors up, find that missing piece of the mold, and then really start attacking the mold so that the antibiotics can actually work and kill off the Lyme. And so was that your protocol for like how long did you do the antibiotics?
Yeah. Gosh, so let's think. So 2014 was when I ended up in a wheelchair. 2015 was when I went to ILADS. So I would say I was on antibiotics for at least 3 years.
Wow. Okay.
You know, 2018 was kind of the remission year. And throughout that process, you know, we would cycle in different herbals, different IV protocols, but pretty much on antibiotics throughout the whole time. And slowly I would get better. You know, I went from being in a wheelchair to needing a walker. You know, I was still having a lot of tremors, but I could use my legs a little bit more so I could walk. Ultimately to a cane, which, you know, my biggest accomplishment and my whole goal was to be able to walk across medical school, walk across the stage at my medical school graduation. You know, and so I was able to do that. I needed my cane right after, but I was able to do that.
Good
by 2018.
Good for you. So what did during your personal journey, what did kind of like your detox look like? Because I know it's really, you know, we're killing off all of these you know, pathogens in our body, which is making us herks, right? We're feeling horrible. If you do nothing and just let them float around and recirculate in your body, you know, oftentimes, especially if it's like a parasitical, if you're dealing with, you know, Babesia or just parasites in general, you know, it releases high levels of ammonia and you can get the tingling and just so much stuff goes on. So you've got to bind this and get it out of your body, right? And I think that so many people hyper-focus on killing when I think I would hyper-focus on detoxing because it's just as important. So what types of protocols did you go through?
Yeah. You know, I wish I could say that I did a lot because I think back then we didn't know enough about herxing and we didn't support our patients enough through it. And so, you know, I actually remember my doctor telling my ex-wife, when you're doing the IV antibiotics and she has a seizure, pause them. Pause, wait until her seizure, you know, stops and then start them again. And that used to really be the belief with treating tick-borne diseases, you know, herks and herks until you don't herks anymore.
Yeah. But it's like you said, it's really brutal. And I've learned, you know, from my journey and from, you know, all the years of having guests and practitioners on my show is that yes, it is kind of okay. So we're feeling worse. That means it's working, right? But it doesn't have to be brutal. It just doesn't. There are so many ways to support our body, whether it's slow down, take a break, do extra detox. Maybe your pathways aren't open. Like there's something that can be done to help you along this because it doesn't need to be like truly you're dying, right? Because I'm pretty sure during my journey, I was in like years long of a herks. Like it never let up.
Right.
And that's not okay. That's just really brutal. And especially for those that are trying to, you know, like yourself, you were trying to go through medical school, people have to work, provide for their families, whatever the case may be. Oftentimes we do need to function a little bit. So,
right. Well, and I, you know, I know we're talking kind of about my story, but I will say one of the things I tell my patients is I describe this teeter-totter story. This is one of my favorite stories where, you know, when I was a little kid, my brother and I would be on a teeter-totter and he would wait till I was really high up on that teeter-totter and then he would jump off and I would come crashing down. And that's what Lyme treatment can feel like at times, is it can feel like we're just crashing and crashing and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, before I start any Lyme treatment with my patients, we're sometimes spending an hour just talking about herxing tools. I have a free ebook on my website. I can give you guys that really walks patients through herxing and many different protocols and tools, you know, like you said, binding, making sure we're alkalizing the body, supporting liver detoxification, lymph flow, you know, so many different tools that we can use. Because what herxing should be like is a nice balanced teeter-totter where maybe you herx a little bit because in some patient population, that's inevitable. But then we kind of come back and then we herx a little more and we come back and eventually.
So it should be like that roller coaster, right?
Exactly.
Like a roller coaster versus that teeter-totter, throw me off.
Yep. Teeter-totter, throw me off. Exactly.
No, that makes sense. So, and it is interesting how many things that we learn after the fact, right? Like once we're well, and then, you know, just for me being in the Lyme community, but then for you being an actual doctor treating Lyme patients, all the things you would do differently, right? Than how it was done when you were going through your journey.
Absolutely.
So then you just continue to slowly, slowly get better and then you get your life back?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, I continued to slowly get better. You know, graduating medical school, I walked into a full thriving practice. You know, my mentor hired me on and I was still struggling. I still had a lot of pain, a lot of brain fog, a lot of fatigue, but Lyme is my passion and patient care is my passion. And so I was doing what I loved, in a clinic that I just felt so passionate about, that I kind of just lived with how I was. You know, I felt like I was good enough, until I got COVID, and that's kind of when I went downhill again. So at this point, you know, before COVID, I wasn't having seizures. I was functioning fairly well. You know, I maybe had some bad days here and there. And then I got a pretty severe COVID infection, 104, 105 fever for over 20 days. And I started having seizures, you know, not once, not twice, but up to 20 times daily.
Oh no. And that is just, you know, and it's a sign that I truly believe, you know, many of us may know when we get bit, right? Or not, but so many of us walk around with a Lyme infection, right? We're infected with Lyme disease or co-infections or whatever it may be, but our body or our foundation is so strong that we have no symptoms from it. And if you have any type of a physical or emotional trauma to the body is when it's going to crash your body and allow these pathogens to come back out. And so I say this because obviously that's what happened for you, right? It doesn't sound like you were totally well to begin with, which you knew. And believe me when I say, listeners, you can 1,000,000% get your life back, 100% symptom-free. I have been for over 4 years, actually 4.5 years, I think. I am not in fear of getting sick again. I'm not in fear of relapsing. I've had the loss of my stepmother. I've had lots of emotional trauma in my life since I've been well, and I am just good. If you get to the root, if you build your foundation strong, you get to that cellular level, you can have your life back and not live in fear. And so please don't go for like what you were going to be okay with, Melanie. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I'm not in a wheelchair, right? I can do my practice. I can do what I'm passionate about, but you weren't where you needed to be, and you didn't know that. And so I just think it's a really important thing to kind of emphasize on right now, since it was the topic, that really don't give up until you are 100%, because you can get there. And I don't care if the doctors tell you, well, that's not reversible. Not true. I call BS, right?
Oh, and I completely agree. And I think that that's really the biggest realization I had at that point was, you know, I was treating this disease wrong, right? Mm-hmm. I was using antibiotics here and there when I had a little flare. I wasn't looking at the root. And that's when my life changed. Once I took a step back and I looked at the medicine I was already doing a little bit of because my mentor was teaching me it. You know, I was doing a little bit of it, but it was when I really took a step back and I looked at that medicine and I looked at the damage that happens to our cells from this infection, the damage that happens to our immune system. And it was once I healed my cells, once I repaired my immune system, I am now symptom free too.
Yay. I love it. I love it. It's truly an amazing feeling to be able to get on that other side. And we both understand the frustration of, you know, going through all of these treatments, the frustration of the financial burden that it puts on us. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it that we kind of get to where we're done, right? Mm-hmm. But we're just leaving our bodies open to, hey, whatever, you want to get me COVID, go ahead. You want to get me pneumonia? You want to get me car accident? Any type of these traumas is going to set you back. It just is if you're not well. So please don't give up when you're almost at the finish line, because I promise you there's solutions to that. So, well, Melanie, I'm so excited you got your life back. Like, it just really is. I just love, love, love hearing stories like this, because obviously you were determined, right? And then you learned enough. You wanted to be able to help other Lyme patients. And during that journey, you even learned more, right? And it was kind of that extra stepping stone for you to get the real answers of how deep, how far we need to go to actually repair our bodies from the damage that we've got from Lyme disease. So thank you for sharing your personal journey with me. And now I kind of want to transition into, you know, what you do at your clinic, the Restorative Health Clinic in Portland. I know that because of your personal journey, right? Like, you really, truly want to take your patients and walk hand in hand with them. And you had mentioned earlier, you know, that you had an ebook about herxine, and that oftentimes you have an hour-long conversation with your new patients about herxine. And again, listeners, as always, all the information that we're talking about will be in the description of this episode, so you can find it. But you truly want to get to that cellular level, right? And so I know that you have a therapy, cell membrane stabilization, which has been the game changer for you and in your practice. And so I really kind of want to dive into what that is, because there's so much talk about the cellular level. What are your cells doing, right? And it's fascinating because I think we are totally onto it when we're talking about our cells. I think that's where the magic happens. And then I don't want to forget to kind of dive deep into, I know you have the free ebook, but the herxing, you know, how can we help these people along, things that they can do at home, things at nighttime or on the weekend when they feel like they want to die, right? What are tips that they can do at home to support their bodies, to get them through? Because again, like we mentioned, we don't need to have these brutal herxes, right? Oftentimes practitioners are like, oh, just push through it, you know, but then you have the practitioners who are really compassionate. And most of the time, those are the ones that have gone through Lyme themselves and they know what we truly go through. So let's talk about what this cell membrane stabilization therapy is. And I'm just going to kind of let you dive into it at whatever level you want to start to kind of give us a really good idea of what it is and why it's so important.
Okay. Let me start kind of superficial and then let's dig in deep and dig into the science a little
Perfect.
Bit. So superficially, what cell membrane stabilization is it's the use of IV phosphatidylcholine to help heal our cell membranes and re-regulate our immune system so that when we tell the body, hey, please do this, the body can do it again. And that's what's so tricky about Lyme, right? Lyme is a very smart bacteria. And it has so many different ways that it actually damages our immune system and damages our cell membranes in order to survive and thrive. So taking a step back, what is a cell membrane? Our cell membranes are basically the walls around our house. They're meant to protect us. They protect us from what is coming in and out. And they send communication throughout the body that a threat is here, that we need to signal the immune system. We have cell membranes around the outside of our cell, but we also have cell membranes on our mitochondria, right? And our mitochondria, I think of those like the energy factory, right? That's where all of our ATP is made. ATP equals energy. Without ATP, that's why we have brain fog and fatigue, why we feel weak. Everything goes foobar in the body when our mitochondria are not working well. And then we also have cell membranes around our nucleus where our DNA is to protect our DNA. One of the ways that our body defends ourselves from infections, from toxins, is it releases something called reactive oxygen species. So reactive oxygen species are these, I like to think of them almost like firecrackers being thrown at infection to try to blow up infection as it's coming in or get rid of toxins as they're coming in. They're good, right? We want that to happen so that we can get rid of infection. But what we know is that too much of it creates chaos in the body. It creates oxidative stress in the body. And Lyme disease specifically is extremely resistant to oxidative stress. And what ends up happening when we're just releasing constant reactive oxygen species is we're starting to oxidize the fats that make up our cell membranes in our body. When we oxidize these fats in our body, communication breaks down. Now the body's not able to protect us from what's coming in and out. When we give an herb, when we give an antibiotic, when we give an IV and we say, hey, body, please go attack the Lyme disease, it says, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do that? I don't know what I'm doing. To break it down a little bit further, on these cell membranes are these tiny little molecules called lipid rafts. And lipid rafts are basically like the command center of the cell. It's where all the messaging communication goes from cell to cell to cell. And not only do reactive oxygen species damage our lipid rafts and damage that cellular communication, but Borrelia actually has a mechanism of how it hijacks those lipid rafts on the cell. And it's able to burrow in really deep and hide from the immune system further. So that's on the outside of the cell. And on the inside of the cell, those same reactive oxygen species can now damage our cell membranes of the mitochondria. We also, and I promise this is the last little bit of science, but we also have these molecules in our body, these lipids in our body called plasmalogens. And plasmalogens are fatty molecules that are so important for cognitive health and cognitive function. If we think about the myelin sheath, that's our sphingomyelins. They're made out of plasmalogens. And so reactive oxygen species just wreak havoc, right? Inflammation just wreaks havoc on the cell. And now we cannot heal. We cannot heal no matter how hard we try because our cellular makeup is damaged. And that's where cell membrane comes in. That's where it shines, is that by flooding the system with healthy fat, giving the body healthy IV phosphatidylcholine, giving the body IV butyrate to help with the oxidized fats and getting them out of the cell, giving all the supportive nutrients to help repair the mitochondria and get them working again, we can actually trick the Lyme and we can heal the cell. And sometimes we actually never need to go in with antimicrobials because we can get the immune system to work again.
Mm. That is so fascinating because truly, like, our bodies are incredible, right? It's almost like, I don't know if I want to call it like just a breaker box, right? Like there's, if this breaker's off, that's not going to work, right? Like it really does communicate everything. And so much of it, I mean, you know, our immunity is in our gut, right? We know this, but our brain controls our gut. Our brain controls so many different things. And when you're trying to tell your brain to do something, if you have this lack of communication, right? It's almost like being a kid and, you know, you and your friend are having these little walkie talkies, but if you walk too far from each other, right, you can no longer hear. They don't work. They're all staticky. And you're like, what do you want me to do? What are you saying? That's almost like how our body works, right? If it is not communicating properly, and that makes perfect sense. We take these things that we're supposed to take and it's supposed to kill off, but our body doesn't know what to do because it's lost that communication. And just like it with anything in this world, right? Communication is key. And it's key in our relationships in the world. It's key in our bodies because it has to communicate with one another. And so that is very interesting that you have kind of discovered that this is where we need to get down to, is to reactivate this communication. Right. And so it sounds like you do that by some forms of IV therapies.
Yeah. So it is I'm not going to lie, it's a pretty intensive IV protocol. It's a 4-hour long IV, and patients do not feel great during the IV. And so, you know,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
Does that mean we're herxing? Does that mean tired? It burns? It give us the lowdown.
Sure. Well, naturally, I think when we're flooding the body with fats, our digestive system doesn't love that. And so it is not uncommon to feel nauseous. It's not uncommon to have diarrhea. However, we are asking the body to do a lot of work. We are literally shedding the body of bad, fatty, waxy cells, right, in order to heal. And so we can herx from that. And so sometimes it's a worsening of the symptoms that you already had. Sometimes it's, I think the most common thing I hear is just extreme brain fog and fatigue, muscle cramping, aching. But this is where the herxing support comes in, because we have so many wonderful tools to help support through that process, to help move through it, where maybe you're sick for a day after the IV, but you don't have to be sick throughout, and we can move you through that.
Perfect. And so is this something where everybody's the same, right? I know that a lot of our stories are the same, our symptoms are the same, but most of us don't treat the same way or react to treatment in the same way. And so is there a set protocol that you do with this 4-hour IV? Is it once a week? Is it for so many weeks? Is it how does your protocol look?
Yeah. No, everyone is different. And everyone needs something a little bit different. The one constant in it is the IV phosphatidylcholine. But there's different lipidomic studies that we can actually study the cell membranes. We can study sphingomyelins. We can study omega-6, omega-9 fatty acids to really understand what is the body missing and how to repair it. And so, you know, what goes into the IV, almost everyone gets IV phosphatidylcholine, who's doing the protocol, because that's how we replenish the cells. Almost everyone will get butyrate, because one of the byproducts of oxidizing the fats is a molecule called malonyl-D-aldehyde. And that's something that we can actually measure that tells us how on fire is the cell, how much reactive oxygen species are really wreaking havoc. And butyrate helps shed the body of that. But then the nutrients that we give, whether or not someone's getting ozone at the same time, whether or not I'm giving, you know, carnitine to help support the mitochondria, zinc to help support DNA repair and immune system function. It just depends on your testing and the person in front of you. And everyone responds different to the treatment. Some patients that I thought would get the sickest do the, you know, one IV and tell me, I feel incredible, Dr. Stein. I want more of that. You know, other patients, it's really hard to get through. I will say the one time that I will stop the treatment, the one time that I really see patients struggle with the treatment the most is if you are still in mold.
Interesting. Okay. And that makes sense. So this is a protocol that is not just a standalone. This is kind of just to wake up the body, right? Get the communication going that we need. And like you mentioned earlier, maybe that's all we need, right? Like our bodies are truly designed to heal themselves given the right tools. So this could be the tool for some people, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had mentioned that maybe they're doing ozone. So what other types of modalities do you do at your center?
Yeah. So I do a lot of herbal therapy. I love herbs. And so sometimes throughout the treatment, if I think that the infections are really flaring and wreaking havoc, we might do some different herbal protocols to target the infections. I also do SOT therapy. I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
Oh, you before. Do. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you mentioned that. It has been talked about quite a bit in the Lyme community. And I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, I had a practitioner on all about SOT because mm-hmm. I didn't know much about it. So I got a good little kind of lesson. And listeners, if you're interested in that, you can go back, I don't know, a month or so ago and search out the SOT podcast because it was great. It was very informative. So you do that in Portland. Okay. Very good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I find that, you know, SOT, right? We've talked about like antibiotics. We don't love doing them because they wreak more havoc on the body. They hurt the immune system even more. And so I love SOT because, I mean, supplement fatigue is real, right? The cost of it, we are asking our patients to do so much. And, you know, through the use of SOT, you know, one IV, one infection, we can really treat. And I've been doing it about a year and a half now, and I am mesmerized with the results of SOT.
Are you? Okay. That's good to know. Cause I know it can be quite expensive and I mean, everything we do is right. Nothing's covered right. by insurance. That's just kind of the way that it goes. But, and so is it true that most of your people, like, so my understanding is, you know, you do one for Bartonella or you do, you know, you do each individual ones. There's a whole process, a whole protocol, all of that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part out of your clinic, are you seeing one SOT per infection and they're good? Or what's kind of your ratio?
Yeah. On the patients that have done it on after we've healed the cells, that is what I'm finding. The patients okay. that we maybe didn't do the cell membrane work and we're choosing to do SOT instead. Sometimes I'm layering in herbs on top of it. Sometimes we, you know, we're doing an SOT for Bartonella and then we're doing herbs for Babesia, right? There's, you know, just like much of treating Lyme, there's really no one size fits all way to do it. But I will say that the one thing that I'm really noticing is that if we heal the cells, if we take a step back and we get communication working again, we heal the immune system, we heal the cell membrane, every therapy works better after that.
Mm, I love that. And, you know, it sounds like it could be just that, I don't want to really call it a stepping stone because those are small, right? But the biggest stepping stone in the journey is to get that communication going. And then, you know, maybe kind of not attack it so hard, right? Support your body with good nutrition and exercise and allow your body to kind of see what it may do. And so have you, or do you do that? Is that something that you might recommend to somebody who maybe is, you know, struggling financially? Because I'm assuming that by the time people come and find you that, you know, they've exhausted, you know, all of their resources, their financial resources. And so is that an option that they can do, is maybe do this, you know, the cell membrane therapy, and then let's support our body, right? And possibly see what's going to happen with it.
I would say about 80% of the time, that's actually the case.
Really? Okay.
So once we finish the therapy, and it, you know, it could be 10 treatments, it could be 80 treatments. It just depends on the person in front of me. But once we're finished, I always tell everyone, we're going to pause for at least 2 months. We're going to pause. If you need some support, I'm here. You know, we can support you through the process. But for 2 months, your cells are continuing to repair, right? And that's when we're going to see the true beauty of what this treatment did. And so I would say, yeah, about 80% of the time when we come back 2 months later, my patients are better and we don't need to go and do other treatments.
That is amazing. That doesn't sound like it's a super easy process, right?
It is not an easy process.
That whole herxing thing. And so let's talk a little bit about some of the things that, and maybe you can even throw out some free tips, right? I know that you have this information. We'll provide that in the description of the episode. But can you offer any free tips to the listeners of ways to kind of get through the herxing?
Yeah. You know, I think that tools that we have at home, Epsom salt baths, right? Taking baths, detoxing, alkalizing our body, you know, using bicarbonate solutions, so Alka-Seltzer, to really try to alkalize our body, celery juice, juicing, movement. Moving our body is key. And I think that when we're herxing, we don't want to move, right? We just want to stay in bed. But getting out of bed, taking a walk, even if it's to the mailbox and back, right? Getting oxygen flowing to the tissues, lymphatic system moving. But then, you know, there's a lot of different supplements that we can use. So I always tell patients, you know, whenever it comes to herxing, I like people to take one of three different categories: a liver support, a lymph support, and a binder. And so more often than not, that's, you know, a binder, glutathione. And I love red root. I think red root is one of the most incredible herbs to move the lymph.
And I don't know that I've heard of that before. Please share, educate me. What is that?
So red root is, it's a tincture. It's ceanothus. Nope. Gosh, you're going to stump me with the Latin name of the herb right now, but it comes in a tincture and it works to help move lymphatic flow. So a lot of my patients, they'll be puffy when they're herxing, right? They'll get really puffy. Mm-hmm. They'll have a lot of swollen lymph nodes.
Yes.
And their hands will swell. And so it's a blood mover. And so what I find is that with the use of red root tincture, we can really help drain the lymph and get inflammation down that way.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah. Because, you know, I know like jumping on a rebounder or a vibe plate or dry brushing, which, you know, yes, dry brushing is a fairly easy thing that we can do, but a lot of us, you know, we don't have a lot of movement in our body, right? We're in so much pain. Right. We can't jump on a trampoline. We can't, you know, stand the shakiness from a vibe plate. So red root. Okay. So good to know. I always love learning new things.
Yeah.
So those are some great tips on how to kind of alleviate that, that herxing that we go through, because you know, the journey is not easy, but it doesn't need to be extremely brutal. I continue to say that all the time. And so I know, Melanie, earlier in the show, you said we would talk about it a little bit later. So let's talk about why both of us, right, don't believe that antibiotics should be your first choice when we are dealing with chronic Lyme. You're the doctor, so I'm going to let you explain it from that perspective, right?
Yeah. I mean, being a naturopath, I think that antibiotics can just really wreak havoc on the digestive system. They wreak havoc on the immune system. You know, there's not been a new antibiotic out since, I don't know how long, since before I was born. You know, it's outdated medicine. And, you know, I think that they have their place in medicine. I think that, you know, there's many different antibiotic resistant organisms that really, you know, we do need to use antibiotics. But nature gives us so many tools of how to heal ourselves. And, you know, I think one of my favorite books or quotes from my book is, you are not broken. Your body wants to heal. And when given the right resources, healing becomes inevitable. And I think that's really my belief on how we need to treat chronic illness and we need to treat chronic infection is we need to treat the terrain. If we treat the terrain and we treat the consequences and we help the body work right again, we don't need these really aggressive modalities that can destroy our GI tract, can cause resistance, and hurt our immune system further.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, exactly what my thoughts are. And so I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, people that are, again, there's a time and place for everything, right? If you need to go to the emergency room, you go to the emergency room. I get that. But I'm much like you. Like I have, you know, in my eyes, the Western medicine field, the traditional doctors, they left me for dead. Right. And that I gave them 7 years and nobody could do anything for me, but just let me wither away and die. And that is when I got turned into the, you know, the naturopathic world, the holistic world, the integrative medicine world. And it was scary. I will tell you, I got introduced to muscle testing. I thought this doctor has absolutely lost his ever loving mind. What is he doing? What is he talking about? And I am thankful that I totally lost faith in the medical community at that point because I had no other option. I had to listen to this doctor that I actually thought was crazy because there was not another option for me. I had nowhere else to turn. And I truly am so thankful for that because this is not new stuff we're talking about. This is the original stuff, right? These herbs and these natural plants, this is the original medicine for us. There are so many, you know, or oregano oil is like a natural antibiotic, right? It's not just something you cook with or, I mean, there's just so many things that I didn't know. We don't know what we don't know. And so I think my point of saying that is just, if you're going through this journey, you're relying on, you know, your primary care doctors, infectious disease doctors, all of the doctors that take insurance, unfortunately, you're not getting well, you're doing lots of antibiotics, you're not getting well, you really need to start thinking outside the box and trusting someone. I get it. We don't trust anybody when we go through this journey because we've been let down so many times, just time and time again. But that is really where the magic happens. I really believe it. And I'm sure, Melanie, you can agree with me as well. Like it can be a game changer and a lot easier on your body. You know, once you get well from years of antibiotics, now you got to repair the damage that the antibiotics did. And so why not start with something natural that's good for you that you don't have to repair something from the repair?
Right. And I will say that doesn't mean I never use antibiotics. I think that there are times in Lyme cases where they are more than necessary, but listen to your patients. If I can get one message out to other practitioners too, is listen to your patients because our bodies want to heal and Earth wants to heal us. And if we really spend the time to listen to our patients, listen to their symptoms and hear what's actually happening in their body, the body has the tools to heal itself. My job as a practitioner is to help support that.
Yes. And it's very true. I mean, our bodies are talking to us all day long, right? Whether they're communicating inside, if we have a lack of communication, it's still talking to us in the sense of it's giving us a symptom, right? You're having this chronic migraine every day. You're having this chronic gut, whatever it is. These are signs that your body is telling you, hey, whoa, stop, pause, something is going on, right? It may not be easy to find what it is, but it's always telling us something. And so it's really important to listen to our own body, right? And then work with a practitioner that you truly resonate with, that you trust, and that they are open to being responsive to what you're saying, because they work for us, right? Like you, Dr. Stein, you work for us. And that's what patients need to realize, is that we don't work for them, right? You work for us. And we need to go with our gut, our intuition on what practitioner we want to work with, because I think working with somebody that you really work well with can mean all the difference in the world. And so just because there's a practitioner who has all these certifications, worked with the best doctors and did all these things, if you guys don't jive, it's not the doctor for you. And that's okay. That doesn't mean they're not a good doctor. It just isn't the right doctor for you. So it really is the first kind of stepping stone to this journey, is finding a practitioner that you truly can and want to work with.
And I think if I can expand on that a little bit, it's okay to question your doctor too, right? I was talking to my father the other day, and he was telling about this new medication he was put on. And I said, well, why were you put on that? He goes, well, I don't know. That's what my doctor told me to do, so I'm doing it. And, you know, that was just my biggest pet peeve, right? Is doctors who just say, you know, this is what you need to do, and you have to do this today. And if you're not going to get better if you don't do this. Well, no, we should be asking why, and we should be asking doctors to run more tests and look deeper as to the why. And that's something that I tell my patients is, look, if I propose a therapy that you don't want to do, tell me. If you think I'm off kilter with what I'm thinking, tell me. Let's always look deeper. Let's always research more. You know, it's called the practice of medicine for a reason. We don't know everything. Medicine is evolving. I mean, just the Lyme world in the last 15 years has evolved, right? And so just look deeper and question.
And that is perfect, because I'm constantly, you know, throwing out in the universe, you got to be your own advocate. You cannot plan to get well and stay well if you don't even know what you're doing to your body to get well. You need to ask. It is your duty as a patient to not always question your doctor, but ask questions, right? What is this for? Why do you think I need this? And if you have a thought, because your intuition or your body is telling you something different, you want to be able to have that open dialogue with your practitioner so that you can work together to understand why, right?
Absolutely.
And it is okay. I remember working with a practitioner towards the end of my journey, and I mean, I'd go in there and I would just dread it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to spend all this money. I have to do all this stuff. I literally would go in there and say, okay, I have this amount of money for today's appointment. So please only sell me the top supplements you think I need for this amount of money. And that's what I rolled with. That is okay to do that. You really just need to have an open dialogue. And so that's why I think that Lyme patients themselves truly make the best practitioners to treat Lyme patients, because you've been there, you know what it's like. And so I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you just wanting to take the time with your patients to really validate them and have them know that they are being heard and that they are being seen. So I think, unless you have something else to add to all of that, Dr. Stein, I think that that's just the perfect way to end the show. Be your own advocate.
And you can heal.
Yes. Without a doubt. Dr. Stein, I appreciate you so much. This has been very enlightening, and just thank you so much for taking the time to join me and share with me and the listeners, and for what you do. And again, listeners, we will have all of the information in the description of this episode, of her book, her clinic, her free ebook, all of the information. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me today.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the About of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.